Pseudopod number 19 for January 5th, 2007. Today's story, Through the Many Corridors by Douglas F. Warrick. Welcome to Pseudopod, the weekly horror podcast magazine. I'm your host, Mer Lafferty, co-editor along with Ben Phillips. Each week we strive to bring you the best in horror audio. I always feel a little guilty in the new year when everyone is posting on their blogs all their accomplishments of last year and what they resolved to do this year, and I can't remember a lot of my accomplishments last year, and I'm afraid to make promises I can't keep for this year. The new year is ripe with possibility, but on the other hand, there's that phrase, turning over a new leaf. Whenever I'm in the woods and I turn over a leaf, there's usually something squirmy and leggy underneath there, and that's not something I want to represent my new year. Our story this week is also about discovering something you perhaps should not have found, and it's another tale that crosses both the sci-fi and horror genres, Through the Many Corridors by Douglas F. Warrick. Mr. Warrick is a short story writer in Ohio who has credits in Apex Digest and Mudrock Stories and Tales. The story is narrated by my co-editor, Ben Phillips. So strap yourself in tightly to your seat because it's time for takeoff. Today we're going someplace new.
Through the Many Corridors by Douglas F. Warrick. The walls of the spaceport were white, and it gave Marcus a headache. He felt like he was falling, like horizontal was vertical, and the impossibly long stretch of white hallway was a glaring pit with no end.
"May I have your attention, please?"
said the intercom.
"The New World Spaceport recommends keeping luggage with you at all times."
Marcus reached into his breast pocket and fished out the crumpled piece of paper. He unfolded it and read it again. Arthur Rathscum, The Purple Mountain's Majesty Bar and Grill, 9 o'clock. He pulled out his pocket watch, 9:13.
"Do not hold luggage for strangers."
Shit. Marcus dropped the watch back into his pocket. A fat man in a black suit nudged by him and said, "Keep moving, pal." Marcus licked his lips and grabbed the handle of his roll case. His fingers were still trembling from the reanimation process. Christ, when he thought about being frozen in the passenger deck of that ship, locked in a coffin, shooting across the galaxy to this. He started moving again, trying to get the pins and needles feeling out of his legs. The hard little fist gripping his guts twisted. Even walking in a straight line, he felt somehow as if he had lost the path.
"If you witness any suspicious activity, please report it to our helpful security staff at your earliest convenience. Thank you, and have a wonderful stay on Washington."
The Purple Mountain's Majesty was nearly empty. It was almost identical to every airport bar Marcus had ever been in, except outside the window all he could see was a stretch of dark, dry sand below a dull purple sky smattered with dim stars. The moon was huge and red, but did little to illuminate the landscape. Marcus had to force himself to look at his shoes to keep the disoriented feeling at bay. The only guy at the bar was smoking. He leaned his head against one hand, his fingers in his peppered hair, his cigarette held high and jutting out like an antenna. The fingers of his other hand dashed over the keyboard of a black laptop. He brought the cigarette to his lips. Marcus moved over. "Mr. Rathscum?" The man's shoulders bunched up. He turned his head and Marcus saw that his face, middle-aged and constructed all of sharp angles, wore a smirk. "You're Marcus Bradley?" Marcus wiped his hand on the front of his pants and held it out to Rathscum.
"Yes, sir. Nice to meet you.
Take a seat." Marcus set his bag to one side and took a stool. Rathscum brandished his cigarette at Marcus like a conductor's wand. "It's pronounced rats come, like rats come out at night and take the cheese. The H is silent, get it?" Marcus nodded. "You're late."
"Yes, sir. The shuttle was
delayed. Yeah, I saw." Rathscum took a drag from his cigarette and blew the smoke out the side of his mouth. "How you feeling, Marcus?"
"Dizzy. Disoriented."
"Heh, sounds about right. It's a little like jet lag on steroids, but it'll pass. You want something to drink?"
It wasn't a question, it was a prescription.
"What do you like?"
I don't know, I guess."
Rathscum snapped his fingers. The lady behind the bar regarded him with sleepy eyes. "I'll have another scotch and my buddy'll have a Jack and Coke."
He turned back to Marcus.
"You'll feel better if you drink something. First time off Earth, I take it?"
Marcus nodded. Now that he was sitting still, the whole world seemed inconstant, shifting.
"It's a trip, ain't it? Not so bad after the first time, but you never get used to those fucking coffins."
Marcus shook his head. Mr. Ratscombe? It's Art, Marcus. My name is Art. What? Oh, okay. But is the paper's headquarters directly in Hamilton City?
You betcha. Under the bleeding moon, as they say, Marcus. We at the New World Herald are in the middle of the fucking action. The copy editor's stations are nice. You'll like them.
The lady set the two glasses down on the table and turned back to the television set mounted above the bar. It still felt like if Marcus tried to speak, his guts would tumble out between his teeth. He lifted his glass. Someone had carved some graffiti into the bar where his glass had been. He sipped his drink, felt it sting his tongue, swallowed, felt warmer, sleepier. Art glanced away from the computer screen and back to the bar.
Ah, Christ, how'd they get in here?
Marcus choked. He set his drink down. Art was looking at the graffiti. It was... Jesus, what was it? It hurt his head. It was sort of a circle, sort of. But not like any circle Marcus had ever seen. Even carved into the table, the circle had some sort of weird depth, like Marcus was staring into a breathing hole.
What is it? Goddamn things get in everywhere. You should have seen them when we first showed up, Marcus. Running around carving that fucking weirdo thing into the hood of every car.
Marcus shook his head.
Chalkies! You'll see them before too long. I mean, you can't fucking avoid them.
He rolled his eyes, then looked up to the lady behind the bar.
You know you got a chalky mark over here?
Bullshit, she said. Art gestured to the circle. She leaned over the bar and took a quick glance at the carving.
Bullshit, she said again.
Then she opened a door that said authorized personnel and disappeared inside. Art nodded. He pushed his laptop closed and slipped it into its case.
Okay then, better head out.
Remember, said the voice on the intercom. While you were on the planet Washington, you were still on American soil. So take pride and welcome home.
The highway stretched, framed by a long metal barrier on either side, across the gray and purple wastelands and dissolved on the wavering line of the horizon. Again, it seemed to Marcus that he was falling. It was like everything was constructed of long, straight lines. Like the spaceport hall and the highway were shades of the same entity, projected from one secret source. The ashtray was crammed with a collection of yellow filters that strained against the plastic rim. Marcus watched Art kill another cigarette and mash it in next to its fellows. He took the cigarette behind his ear and lit it. Marcus scratched his thigh through the fabric of his pants and stared out the window. It was weird, wasn't it? Weird how little it impressed him. It was an alien world, after all, a whole new planet, a landscape that held only a vague familiarity with the world he'd been born in, the atmosphere he'd inhaled for 29 years. Maybe that's it. It was just congruent enough to orient yourself, to fool yourself into thinking you were okay here. Up was up, down was down, you could breathe the air. But you weren't okay here. You were drawn into this landscape by a different artist using a different palette and a different technique, and you just weren't okay here. Art took the cigarette out of his mouth and pointed up ahead.
Chalky!
It was at the very edge of the road with its long, doughy fingers wrapped over the top of the metal barrier. Its skin was dry, dusty, cracked and curling like old paint, and dull white like chalk. Its tiny black eyes were set deep into its face, which was long and snoutish and bald. Even when nothing on this planet seemed to reflect the glow of that big red moon, the bleeding moon, those eyes picked it up like deep black wells. It crawled over the barrier and fell onto its face on the edge of the highway. Art chuckled.
Thing's so fucking stupid it doesn't know its dick from a donut.
Marcus watched the thing with wide eyes. It was the only thing he'd seen in this world that fit. The only thing that made sense against the dull gray and purple backdrop. This single thing, no taller than his pelvis. Art swerved and hit it with his car.
Jesus!
The chalky's neck snapped back in an awful way, and then the big Buick lurched and settled back onto the road.
Woo-ha! Shouted Art.
Marcus glanced into the rear view and saw the thing crushed against the highway. It was bleeding. One great gush of the stuff, bright red like something sweet, bubbled out of its chest cavity. And then its long fingers, like big white breadsticks, curled in on its palms, and Marcus looked away.
Did you have to kill it?
Art chuckled.
Nobody's gonna miss it. Those things are fucking everywhere. Think of them like raccoons.
Marcus stared at his shoes. There was nothing to look at outside the window. The Chalkies were everywhere in the city. You could see them peeking from the dull black alleys, their little eyes sparkling in the darkness, the barest suggestion of their dusty white faces blending into the dimness. In the months that Marcus had worked at the New World Herald, he had seen more of them every day. One night he had found one of their weird circles carved into the door of his apartment complex, a flat whirlpool that looked like you could fall down into it and keep going forever. "They like the city," Art had said one night at the bar. "You want my expert opinion? The lights. See what I mean, man? They're like moths, Marcus, just like friggin' moths." "I thought you said they were like raccoons." "Raccoons, moths, fuck it, pick your poison." He pulled another cigarette from his pack and lit it with the smoldering filter of his last one. "Frankly, I don't know why they didn't just wipe them all out before they let anybody up here, you know?"
"Maybe they tried," said Marcus. He poked at the ice in his drink with a toothpick and tried to avoid making eye contact with Art. He was thinking of the senile way the Chalkies moved, the way they seemed to have gotten lost on their way home. His workspace at the Herald was nice. He had his own cubicle with his own computer station, and he didn't have to talk to anyone if he didn't want to. Sure, it was a monkey's job, but it paid better than anything he would be likely to find back home, and he was pretty comfortable here. He was reading over Art's critique of the Hamilton public transit system. Art couldn't write for shit. Marcus felt bad for thinking so, but it was true. It was like he had gotten into the journalism biz more or less on playing the asshole reporter archetype. Someone said, "Oh wow, have you guys seen this?" Marcus wheeled his chair to the edge of his cubicle and glanced out. Hank, one of the other copy editors, was standing by the window.
"What is it?"
Hank shook his head.
"I wish I knew. The Chalkies are in the parking lot."
"They'll leave eventually," said Anne, and ducked back into her workspace.
"No," said Hank. He was smiling, sort of, as if he wasn't totally sure he should be.
"I don't think so. There are kind of a lot of them." Marcus pushed himself out of his chair and started walking down the corridor of cubicles to the window. He stood next to Hank and looked out. They were everywhere, maybe 100 of them. God, maybe more. They stood in a circle amidst the parked cars, locking their little black eyes with each other and standing totally still.
"What do you think?"
Marcus shook his head.
"Dunno."
But there was an idea that crouched at the back of his mind. Down there, the circle was changing. He could already see the O shape of concrete below him start to shift to take on the suggestions of depth, like a breathing hole, like a whirlpool.
"It's a Chalky Mark. It's one big Chalky Mark."
Hank blinked and said,
"Oh, wow."
Someone walked into the lot. He wore a cheap-looking suit, and Marcus could barely see the comet's tail of smoke rising from the cigarette between his fingers. He was shouting.
"Is that Art?"
Hank said. Marcus nodded and pushed the window open.
"The fuck off my car, you creepy little shit!"
Marcus cupped his hands around his mouth and shouted Art's name. Art looked up, took a drag from his cigarette.
"What?" "It's a Chalky Mark. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen."
It was, too. Not since the first day, the first drive from the spaceport and the first Chalky had Marcus felt anything like this. Amongst the cars and the asphalt, the steel and glass and moist pink skin, and all the things that didn't belong under the bleeding moon, here again was something that did. It fit. Looking at it, as dizzy as it made him, it felt like someone had let loose their grip on his temples.
"I don't care if it's the asshole of God!" shouted Art.
Marcus's eyes snapped back to him.
"That thing is standing on the hood of my car, and I'm about to stomp on its head!"
He flicked away his used-up filter and lit up another as he made his way toward the ring. Marcus bit his lip and looked away. Hank said,
"Oh, Jesus."
Anne was with them now, and the other copy editors as well. She whimpered once. Someone said, "What are they doing?" Marcus looked up. The Chalkies, each and every one, were convulsing now, racked with great and terrible twitches. Their flaky white skin seemed to clench and bubble. Art muttered something that looked like, "The fuck?" The cigarette slipped from the corner of his mouth and tumbled down his chest, spraying orange fireflies. He didn't seem to notice. So fast. Jesus, it was so fast. Their chests, the Chalkies' chests, opened up. Deep, dark slits sprang open from throat to crotch like dry, white, vertical mouths. Without pause, like the whole awful thing was some intricately choreographed performance, thick, moist cords as wide as pythons wound outward into the air, 100 shining black umbilicae weaving around and over each other, dancing under the bleeding moon. Hank turned and vomited on the floor. Anne was already gone. The door to the stairwell swung silently on its hinges, and her feet echoed on the steps. Outside, Art screamed. Marcus's throat was dry. He could feel the skin of his face buzzing. He looked outside and couldn't take a breath deep enough to scream with.
Art was running from the parking lot, his limbs flailing like a child. Behind him, one thick black cord reared up in one instant and shot forward the next. Marcus closed his eyes, but the noise. When he opened them again, Art had stopped screaming. He was standing with his arms rigid at his side and his head thrown backward. The umbilicus ran from a raised ring of hair and skin at the back of his skull back to the slitted chalky, straight as a bowstring. The rest of the umbilici ran into the ground, into the enormous circle, not as if they had stuck into solid asphalt, but as if the mark were filled with some thick liquid. Marcus heard a slithery sound and turned his head. A single slick black tube wriggled out of the drywall from a chalky mark he hadn't even known was there. Hank sat on the floor next to where he had thrown up and stared at it. The thing hovered in the space between them and the wall, weaving from side to side like a bee, and then lunged forward. Hank shrieked childishly before the thing planted itself in the middle of his face. The cartilage in his nose smashed, and the wet cracking noise was... God, just... Marcus sprinted for the door to the stairwell. In his periphery, a dozen weaving, diving ropes of gut danced, anchored into the wall, the ceiling, the sides of cubicles. Christ, how many goddamn chalky marks were in this building, overlooked and festering? He hit the door with his shoulder and tumbled out onto the landing. Farther down the stairs, Anne was standing with her back arched impossibly and a leathery tentacle from the ceiling buried in her belly. She looked at him with her head hanging upside down. He threw himself down the stairs past her. Jesus, Jesus, how many were behind him now? He didn't dare look. He had already filled in the blanks, and there was no place to run, but run was the only thing. He imagined 100 huge rings of small, dry creatures scattered across the planet, 1,000 or more weaving mottled worms, finding their way through every chalky mark, the one on the door of his apartment complex, the spaceport bar. Something sharp hit him hard in the back of the head. White. It was all white. A big white corridor on all sides, and Marcus couldn't be sure whether he was traveling forward or just falling. The subtlest stream of air passed across his face, and a handful of vague shadows gave indications of the tunnel's width and height, but otherwise there were no signs of motion or form. Time passed. He wondered what was happening now, in the fledgling cities scattered across Washington. Would there be anyone left? Would every human being, every trespasser on the purple dirt of this unreal rock be hanging from a throbbing black cord? Maybe the chalkies were behind the steering wheels now. Christ, what if they traveled through those terrible umbilici into people's heads? What if one was testing him out, stretching his fingers, rolling his shoulders? But maybe not. Maybe they were in the same corridor, floating past depthless walls, falling and flying and staying still. Maybe this was all they had left, the only defense. Maybe they were stuck here with him, like a bee having its guts ripped out with its stinger. Time passed. Hallways and highways and umbilici and corridors. Planet Washington was made of them. And you know, the fuck of it all was, they all led to the same place. They all bled back into themselves. You always ended up floating toward another hallway, into another coil of guts, down another well. Marcus shut his eyes. Time passed.
Pseudopod is a production of Escape Artists Incorporated and is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 2.5 license. And all those words mean take it, copy it, hand it out to your friends, but don't get money for it, don't change it, and always say where you got it from. Our theme is by permission of Anders Manga, and you can find them at andersmanga.com. The staff of Pseudopod consists of Ben Phillips, Mer Lafferty, and publisher Steve Ely. And we're a paying market, so if you don't donate to us, we can't pay our authors. Tune in next week for some more scary stuff, and remember that travels to other worlds don't always end in adventure.